You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
August the 17th, 2022, and of course we're seeing a major shakeup as Liz Cheney, Senator of Wyoming, fails to win her bid in her primary. The candidate endorsed by Trump beat her by 37 points. She will not be returning to the Senate in the next year. She will obviously finish out this term. But it's making a lot of questions, raising a lot of questions about the power of Trump still inside the Republican Party and outside. And Democrats are having to really consider maybe just how powerful is this going to be and whether or not folks actually like Trump. Maybe they more dislike what the Democrats have been trying to do to Trump and anyone associated with him. Has anyone given that any thought? Trump's not the issue. It's what the Democrats, the leftists, have been trying to do to destroy him and his family from day one. I do know this. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who had previously supported Liz Cheney in her run for re-election and losing by 66% to 29%, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, he sees the writing on the wall. He's not commenting at all on Liz Cheney's ouster from the Senate at this time. In fact, the 2021 House impeachment vote of former Trump might be, according to some, the most career-wrecking votes in congressional history. 80% of the pro-impeachment members will be leaving Congress in 2023, Cheney being one of the biggest names, obviously. Only two Republicans will remain in the House out of the 10 that were for impeaching Trump. Congressman David Valdado, Republican of California, Republican Dan Newhouse of Washington remain. Newhouse is from a safer red district. Valdado running for re-election in a more contested district where Trump did not endorse anyone. By the way, former Alaska governor and vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin did advance, in the general election for her state's at-large seat in the U.S. House. They have a special election to fill the remainder of the late Congressman Don Young's term. All three candidates, Palin, Petola, Begich, qualified easily for the general election, so now they wait for another round of voting. President Biden, of course, signing the $430 billion climate spending bill, insisting this will fight inflation. No, it won't. And Senator Manchin, within moments of Biden signing it, admitted, well, it's not going to change anything right away, except for sucking up what money you might have. And in fact, Congressman Byron Donalds, Republican of Florida, said the Inflation Reduction Act will increase IRS audits on the poor to help pay for subsidies for solar panels for the wealthy. And increased subsidies for solar panels will help China, because most are still made in China. He said the poor are going to have to pay an extra $5-$10 to the government, because the IRS is going to come after them before they go after the others. Because the poor, the middle class included, don't have a covey of lawyers on retainer. They'll roll over and just pay rather than fight. And a former lawyer for the IRS says the agency is definitely going to be going after elderly Americans. This is a former IRS lawyer. He said they make it like it's going to go after the big corporations and billionaires. He said right now they're probably sitting back laughing because they know who's going to be caught in the crosshairs. By the way, the Center for the Disease Control and Prevention announcing a reset to make the government quicker at responding to new health issues, because it got criticized so much for the COVID-19 pandemic response. Yeah, CDC Director Rochelle said, yeah, we didn't do everything properly we should have. You think? You think you did? Now you do? Oh, and New York Democrat hopeful Governor Kathy Hochul signing legislation targeting toy guns. Yeah, we get rid of toy guns. That'll help fight crime and violence in the state. Now, what she's specifically looking at is toy guns that look very real, supposedly to be painted so an officer would know it's a toy, but criminals can use a real gun and put paint on it and make it look the same thing. But banning toy guns, that's not going to really solve the issue you're facing. And again, I would think mostly law-abiding kids are buying the toy guns. Should I say that?
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with a Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program. John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. This ain't no place for no hero. This ain't no place for no middle man. This ain't no place for no hero to call home.
This ain't no place for no hero. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
And I'm about to sign the Inflation Reduction Act into law, one of the most significant laws in our history. Let me say from the start, with this law, the American people won and the special interests lost. The American people won and the special interests lost. We're in a session of, for a while, people doubted whether any of that was going to happen. But we are in a season of substance. This administration began amid a dark time in America.
Yes, that was Joe Biden yesterday as he signed, he said, the most historic bill ever, and claiming we're going to help the poor, we're going to help and close the loopholes of the wealthy and the rich and the corporations, and we will help average Americans and the most poor. He basically signed a $430 billion climate spending bill, claiming that fighting the climate will fight inflation. He said, we're cutting deficits to fight inflation by having the wealthy and big corporations finally pay their fair share. Well, it raises the corporate minimum tax to 15% and spends more money on bolstering the ability of the IRS to enforce the taxes. And Biden admitted he'd waited a long time to finally sign the bill that, if you recall, began as the Build Back Better agenda, but his own senators and his party rejected it. So what we've got now is $386 billion on green energy subsidies, tax credits, $98 billion on propping up Medicare. And he's saying, we did everything for you and we went against the odds.
We've not wavered, we've not flinched, and we've not given in. Instead, we're delivering results for the American people. We didn't tear down, we built up, we didn't look back, we look forward. And today offers further proof that the soul of America is vibrant, the future of America is bright, And the promise of America is real and just beginning.
And just beginning to recognize that I guess we're going to really be reliant upon foreign energy and oil for a long time to come. Except there's a little something that got buried inside the bill that Democrats are beginning to realize. Maybe they did realize anyway, but they went ahead and it passed it because they were trying to get the whole thing through. But green climate activists, they're still not happy. They're still not happy. I just told you this is basically creating $430 billion climate spending bill, which has specifically $386 billion on green tax subsidies and tax credits, and they're still not going to be happy. All right, well, let me calm down. Let's back off, and let's enjoy the celebration with President Biden. As Senator Schumer yesterday talked about what was really accomplished.
For anyone who thought Washington was broken and couldn't do big things, Democrats have shown real change is possible. If the last 2 months could be summed up in a word, it would be persistence. My dad, who died in November and would have been 99 on Flag Day, taught me a lesson. If you try to do the right thing, and if you persist and never give up, you can make the world a better place. Well, that's what's happened here. We persisted and persisted and persisted and never gave up.
Well, I think that's a good lesson Chuck Schumer got from his dad. I do. But it's this time all built upon a lie. A lie. And Democrats are going to recognize it eventually if they don't do it immediately. They're going to realize Inflation Reduction, and yet it's mostly for green energy deals. How does that tame inflation? And taxing these corporations again, another 15%, I mean, money that they normally would be putting back into their business, now they'll say, well, we just won't put that money back in. We won't expand. We won't get new jobs opened up. And, in fact, we may do what we had done before Trump came into office and move offshore. Trump got them to come back. Do you recall that? Many were offshore, and he said, if you come back and quit your offshore productions and you bring the stuff back to our shores, we will cut your taxes even more. Now we're going to go the other direction. Does that sound like that would be good for the country? And I'm not trying to talk partisan. I'm just simply asking economically what's going to be best for the country. And Schumer, of course, had to make sure everybody understands the real part of this bill.
Thank you, President Biden, for your leadership. This has been a long and grueling process. We wouldn't be here without you. A year and a half ago, you laid out the groundwork for this bill. And like us, you persisted every single day, working closely with my team and our caucus for more than a year to get this bill done. The president deserves tremendous credit for this moment. He knew precisely when to step in and when to let negotiations play out. He knew when to use the bully pulpit and when to bring people together away from the spotlight. He made sure we never lost our focus on climate.
Oh, there it is. I thought your focus would be upon the American family and their health and security and their wealth. But we never lost our focus on climate. See, they really cannot dodge that issue. They don't want to. They try to, as the saying goes, put lipstick on a pig, but it's still the pig. It's still a green energy bill that was also part of the Build Back Better project. But they took out about $8 to $9 billion, enough to get Senator Manchin to get on board with them so they could get it passed through. If he had not, you do remember, if he had not moved, if he had not wavered, and Sinema for that point, but let's say Manchin had stood his ground, the vote would have been 51 no to 49 for it. So VP Harris would not have been casting a tie vote. and the cinema had stood with Manchin, it'd been 52 against it, only 48 for it. But as they talk about it all the time, they want to try to appeal again to the cultists, the climate woke that want to change your life, turn the whole world upside down, as if whatever we do in this nation, if we just do it in this nation, it'll make the world better all the way around. China is still digging coal mines. Germany has reopened coal mines because they can't get enough gas and oil from Russia. And other countries realize they're in energy crunch. We in this nation have plenty under our feet, but we've been prevented from getting into it. But, look what's inside the Inflation Reduction Act. Senator Manchin apparently got these provisions put in to get some of his support, requiring the federal government to hold oil and gas lease sales that would involve millions of acres of federal lands and waters. Did you hear that? To open up millions of acres of federal land and water for oil and gas lease sales. You want to know how bad that is to the green pie in the sky people? Here's a quote from the government affairs director at the environmental group Center for Biological Diversity. We're going to get into that later on diversity and inclusiveness and all this stuff that is marketed under a name, and it ain't what it seems. If it tastes like chicken and it's not chicken, period. But he goes on and says, a reference opening up oil and gas lease sales spanning millions of acres of federal land and water. He said, this is a climate suicide pact. It's self-defeating to handcuff renewable energy development to massive new oil and gas extraction. The new leasing required in this bill will fan the flames of the climate disasters torching our country. It's a slap in the face to communities fighting to protect themselves from filthy fossil fuels, Senator Manchin. Well, that apparently was part of the little agreement that Manchin got out of Schumer when they had a little closed-door session, and plus taking $8 to $9 billion out of it intended for green energy. Now, just simply, I want to make sure you understand, just simply opening up the oil and gas leases for bidding and maybe exploration does not mean it's really going to be done. We have in Texas what they call the Texas two-step. And that's what Biden and Schumer had pulled on Manchin. They're not necessarily going to jump into that. Don't look for really quick action. Don't look for really fast, renewed energy production here in the U.S. of A. There will be spots and bits, and gradually we might begin to move forward. And you know, your gas prices might be dipping a little bit. But if you're not energy reliant, if this country is not energy reliant, when we were under Trump, forget him, forget his name. Just look at the businessman and the model that he put in place for America, that we became energy independent. We didn't need oil or gas from anybody. We would do some exporting, but only on the basis of maintaining some trade relations. And we would import some for the same reason. But for Biden, just like for Obama, the Iran deal was going to be his legacy. Biden looks upon this as his legacy.
No, presidents should be judged not only by our words, but by our deeds. Not by our rhetoric, but by our actions. Not by our promise, but by reality. And today is part of an extraordinary story that's being written by this administration and our brave allies in the Congress. This law that I'm about to sign finally delivers on a promise that Washington has made for decades to the American people. The Inflation Reduction Act invests $369 billion to take the most aggressive action ever in confronting the climate crisis and strengthening our energy security.
Yeah. But what's it do to fight inflation? Well, Senator Mace, Republican of North Carolina.
The CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, when they were detailing the cost of this bill, didn't even have the final numbers. We're talking about $485 billion. We're talking about taxes that will be raised on the American people. When you have a subsidy, when you're taxing businesses large and small, somebody's going to pay that bill, and it's going to be working families and individuals in this country. Inflation will continue to go up because deficit spending is a major contribution to inflation. It's why we're here in the first place. So are higher taxes. There were 42 new taxes in the inflation bill just last year, and not to mention the Federal Reserve is printing trillions of dollars every single year. All of these things are affecting inflation. If we were going to really try to stop the buck and stop the tide and stem the tide of inflation, we would be cutting taxes. We wouldn't be doing deficit spending. We'd be spending money we have, not money we have to borrow from China and elsewhere. But that's not what the Biden administration is doing today. And it will harm workers across the country exponentially now and in the future.
And into the future. And my apologies to Senator Nancy Mace. I said, my true apology, Senator, I said North Carolina. She would take offense at that. Not that she doesn't like North Carolina, but she's South Carolina. But what she says is on point. If you really want to cut and make things better for Americans, quit spending. Quit spending. And focus on things that are a priority. And for that matter, get rid of some of the departments. Get rid of the Department of Education, which we're going to deal with a little bit later in this hour. And for that matter, maybe get rid of the IRS. Just simply go to a straight form and one number. Coming up, though, President Biden saying, I took an oath to protect America, and I'm doing it.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You know, I swore an oath of office to you and to God to faithfully execute the duties of this sacred office. To me, the critical duty of the president is to defend what is best about America. And that's not hyperbole. Defend what's best about America. To pursue justice. To ensure fairness. Deliver results that create possibilities. Possibilities that all of us can live a life of consequence and prosperity in a nation that's safe and secure.
That's President Biden yesterday in signing the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act, saying, I took an oath of office to make you safe and secure. Well, may I pull your attention to a couple of things? For instance, and it's noted in a Federalist article I see as well, the billions of dollars in aid, not to Americans, but to Ukraine. Now, I'm all for supporting Ukraine, don't get me wrong. But how we did it and how we went about it and how we continue to dump money in, I don't think with any really adequate accounting, that doesn't seem to make Americans safer and more secure. We've just been throwing the money at them. And then, of course, don't forget the Afghan debacle, and bringing back thousands of Afghans to the U.S. Some were allowed to board planes because they had helped our troops at the time. They'd already been pre-vetted. Others got on the plane, and they weren't vetted till they got here, and it's turning out that 700-plus may have been involved in terrorist activities while in Afghanistan. Oh, and don't forget our southern border. If you're going to make America safe and secure, would you not think we need to protect our border? The numbers coming out now show that the latest numbers of those crossing the border that the Customs Border Patrol has been able to document has now surpassed 2 million. 2 million this fiscal year. That's a record-setting year when we'd previously had 1.2 million. Is that making you feel safer and secure? And then Biden wants to tell you, remember who we are.
And all this progress is part of our vision and plan and determined effort to get the job done for the American people so they can look their child in the eye and say, honey, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to make it sure that the democracy delivers for your generation, because I think that's at stake. And now I know there are those here today who hold a dark and despairing view of this country. I'm not one of them. I believe in the promise of America. I believe in the future of this country. I believe in the very soul of this nation. And most of all, I believe in you, the American people. I believe to my core, there isn't a single thing this country cannot do when we put our mind to it. We just have to remember who we are. We are the United States of America.
I'm glad to hear him say that and acknowledge it. I just don't see him supporting it. And the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act? John Harwood of CNN said, listen, it was dubbed the Inflation Reduction Act as a ploy to get moderate Democrats like Manchin supported. He said it's going to have a negligible effect on lowering inflation. That's a CNN anchor. And then when it comes to being able to whisper your daughter, it's going to be safe and everything will be okay. What are you going to do about what's happening in our schools? Because what we're getting right now in our schools is constantly pushing, shoving down the throats of children as young as K school, sexual mores, transsexual considerations, critical race theory, that because the child next to you might be a different color, then either you are inferior or superior to them. And if you are white, you're definitely in, basically should be disgusted by the color of your skin. What are you doing about that? You say you want to protect families. I don't see the Biden administration doing anything to stop any of that in these schools. In fact, they're encouraging it. You can tell by the appointment of Levine, man, woman, whatever she is, he is, to Health and Human Services. But coming up, we're going to talk about parents, you need to take your schools back.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
So kids are going back to school, but are they going back for education or indoctrination? Depends on where you are and if you're aware of what's happening at your school. My guest is Jonathan Butcher with Heritage, author of the book Splintered, Critical Race Theory and Progressive War on Truth. Jonathan, welcome aboard again, sir.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Well, I'm looking at this article you wrote that basically says, parents, you need to reclaim your kids' education. How bad is it out there right now?
Well, I think there's increasing evidence that education administrators and the interest groups that they follow or are allied with are pushing some even discriminatory ideas that violate federal law. There was just news recently that in Minneapolis, the teacher union and the school district agreed to a contract that said that teachers could be fired or let go based on race, that they would keep minority teachers, but that they would let go white teachers just because of the color of their skin, and they wanted to have some sort of ratio of minority teachers on staff. And this clearly violates the Civil Rights Act.
All right, I was going to bring that up as well, because I'm looking at other things in your article, but I've got that same piece in front of me because the Star Tribune in Minnesota reported on it and said that 50 teachers of color will be losing their positions this fall due to cuts tied to enrollment. But again, the apparently there's also, since then, they've had decisions that, yeah, we're going to be primarily white teachers will be the first one to go. That's the way you understand it as well, right?
Well, that's what the contract says. It says that they will fire teachers that are not based on seniority. They will start with teachers who are not minority and who are the next level down in seniority from whoever they would otherwise let go if it's a black teacher.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Basically, you're talking about a system that really the Supreme Court has ruled violates federal law.
Yeah, I'm going to be very interested to see how that holds up. But when it says white teachers will be laid off before teachers of color, regardless of seniority, teachers of color, white is a color. What they're trying to, they don't want to use it. They don't want to use a phrase, but they're talking about what, colored teachers? Is that what they're trying to say? Are they trying to go back to that old style language of referring to African Americans or blacks as colored? I mean, it's amazing they do this, but of course that also encompasses yellow, red, so forth. But that's not the intent here. Now,
well,
go ahead.
Yeah, and this is the twisted definition of diversity that I was talking about in my piece for the Washington Examiner. You know, the left has taken this idea of diversity and they've made it out to be something that it really isn't, right? They're talking about keeping, you know, some sort of mathematical equation or algorithm about how many individuals from minority ethnicities have to be on staff or on a school payroll. And what we need right now is diversity of thought, and we need the best teachers, regardless of the color of their skin or their background, in front of our kids right now. Because after the coming out of the pandemic, there have been significant learning losses and students are well behind. So we need the best teachers, regardless of the color of their skin.
You talked to a teacher that you referred to, and this is an article that appeared in Washington Examiner, Reclaiming Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion in the Education System, where a mother finds out that her elementary age children are being taught on rape and murder, and they were also told the first pilgrims, not having Thanksgiving and everything, but were bigots filled with hatred and greed. That I'm not saying you have to, again, we're talking about age appropriate. I mean, granted, some stories out of the Wild West and the cowboys and Indians, they weren't portrayed correctly in the movies as to what was really going on. But when you start talking to kids in elementary age at rape and murder and pilgrims are bigots filled with greed and hatred, she wanted her kids out of that school, didn't she? Or didn't trust them.
That's right. Yeah, and it's an interesting story because she was sending her children to a private Montessori school. And not only did she learn that the Montessori school was teaching this, and not also telling students that there are things about America's past that we can celebrate too. I mean, we can be realistic about the failures from our past while at the same time saying that America does have something to offer children and the rest of the world, frankly. But she found that there are interest groups, Montessori school interest groups, that are pushing these ideas. There's actually a Montessori for social justice group that is pushing this kind of material. So once again, you have these interest groups that are looking for political power, that are driving these ideas that are wildly unpopular with parents into schools.
You also point out there's a Heritage survey that found 70% of parents say that, yes, slavery was a tragedy. I'm surprised only 70% say that. But then coupled with that, but it does not define America today. Maybe that's why it's 70%. But I think we all agree slavery was a scar upon the nation and our history, but it's there. You need to discuss it, understand it, and take it for what it was at that time.
Well, and the question is, should it drive policy today? Should we be basing all of our public policies today on slavery from the 19th century and the 18th century and the Jim Crow laws, which have been, you know, disbanded,
sure.
right? I mean, are we saying that America is systemically racist and will always be systemically racist, so every policy has to be designed with that in mind? And the answer is no, right? I mean, we can't, we should not, and we cannot base every policy on this idea that America cannot be redeemed, that America has nothing to offer through the American dream, right? We do need to teach our children that slavery was an abomination, but most importantly, it conflicts with our founding ideals. That's the lesson here, right? Is that Americans acted on something that conflicted with what we committed
to. We had hundreds of thousands of lives lost on both sides. No other country has done away with slavery in the way we did in this nation.
Most certainly. And once slavery was abolished, there were even examples of Americans who were black who were successful because of our capitalist economy, because of our free market system, even into the early 20th century. I mean, even despite the obstacles that were placed in front of them. And that is a story of American resilience that should give everyone hope, right? It should give everyone hope that our system does allow for success.
And, of course, we have many black politicians now, and Latino, since we're going to talk about, quote, people of color, like Myra Flores, that made their way into Congress or Senate, and they've done great, and they recognize, take advantage of the opportunity. Martin Luther King's full view was, don't judge my children by the color of their skin, but by the character and what they do. I think all of us want to take that approach, but the problem is if you don't declare that you're anti-racist, then you're considered a racist.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why this conversation about DEI that I wrote about is so important, because the examples that and the motivations of the, quote, anti-racist are to drive discrimination back
yes.
into American culture. Ibram Kendi writes as much. He says that present discrimination is necessary. The teacher union up in Minneapolis, they are doubling down on their contract and saying that it is necessary that we have these discriminatory policies, because that is what is required today, is that we have discrimination. And that's, it's really appalling and such a backwards view of the way that a culture can survive by sharing ideas about what holds us together.
You're listening to Jonathan Butcher, author of the book Splintered, Critical Race Theory and Progressive War on Truth. Let me turn to another aspect the kids are encountering. The California Department of Education recommending a reading list promoting books for kindergartner students about transforming, and for high schoolers about kneeling during the national anthem, I guess, to not kneel. The recommended reading one is Call Me Max, a book appropriate apparently for grades K through 2, second grade. A student who lets his teacher know that he wants to be called by a boy's name and says, Max, I raised my hand. Teacher calls me, and I wonder if she thought my name didn't make sense for me. I felt that way, too. I mean, this is, again, shoving this CRAP down our children's throats.
Well, and it's also confusing students and not helping them with really what they need. There is, it's very common to find overlap between students who are confused about their sex and anxiety, depression, even in some studies, even autism. And so there are some pretty severe intellectual and even emotional needs that these children have. And we should be showing them compassion, helping them find the right therapies and help, not affirming this idea that a minor child should be making decisions about, you know, potentially hormones and surgeries and treatments that could be life-altering,
yeah.
right? That you can't go back when you begin on this process of taking puberty blockers and testosterone leading to surgeries and things like that.
I agree.
Schools should be involving parents right away.
Jonathan, I thank you very much. I agree. And I don't know of any adolescent that's comfortable in their body anyway at any point. Jonathan Butcher from the Heritage Foundation. The book, again, is Splintered, Critical Race Theory and Progressive War on Truth. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you.
We'll do it again. Coming up, Adam Kinzinger, Illinois congressman. He says that many pastors, Christian pastors, are basically preaching that Trump is Jesus. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Rottner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottler.com.
Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I'm going to say this as a Christian myself. The pastors, many pastors in this country are failing their congregation. Not even just by, you know, pushing kind of Trumpism from the pulpit, but even refusing to talk about how bad it is, how corrosive it is. And you have people today that literally, I think in their heart, they may not say it, but they equate Donald Trump with the person of Jesus Christ. And to them, if you even come out against this amazing man, Donald Trump, which, I mean, obviously quite flawed, you are coming out against Jesus, against their Christian values. And when you go after their religion, that violates the depth of who they are.
Those are the words of Adam Kinzinger, Illinois congressman. Those Illinois residents who voted for him, you're a Christian, you go to your church, is your pastor preaching that Trump is Jesus? That's what he's saying. And saying that the pastors are failing. I'd like to play the first few seconds of that again, Mark. I want to hear him again on the very beginning because I want to break down something very quickly and I'll make sure I don't misquote him. Go ahead, please.
I'm going to say this as a Christian myself. The pastors, many pastors in this country are failing their congregation, not even just by, you know, pushing kind of Trumpism from the pulpit, but even refusing to talk about how bad it is, how corrosive it is.
All right, okay. Trumpism. What is Trumpism? I don't know that the dictionary has put a new word in called Trumpism, but I know what they're trying to say it is. Everything that relates to Trump is Trumpism, and it's bad. The economy we had under him was bad. No, it wasn't. We were dependent upon Russia and China for our oil and fuel supplies. That was Trump. No, that wasn't true either. We had less crime. Oh, no, that must be a Trumpism too. I mean, what does that mean? And on top of that, because the pastors aren't declaring that you need to be aware of what's happening around you, like what we were just discussing, what's happening with your kids, would that be considered Trumpism as well? Because we're telling you that you need to be aware of what your parent, what your students are being taught and what the teachers are doing to your kids. When most teachers are doing exactly what they went to school to do and what they're trained to do and why they love their job, and that's educate children, not indoctrinate. So I guess Kinzinger would like pastors to be indoctrinating you in the fact that Trump is the devil. I don't know about your church, but in mine, over the decades, regardless of the president, every Sunday there was a prayer that said, lifting up to God our president, our leaders of this country, and helping them make decisions that would affect our nation. It wasn't condemning or pointing out, well, that guy has flaws, you really don't want to be praying for him. We all have flaws. Jesus didn't come to be with all the good people. He came for the sinners. Trump is a sinner. I'm a sinner. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're better. Maybe so. Maybe you're a different religion entirely. And if you're Catholic, of course, don't expect you're going to get any support from your priest or your archbishop based on what the Atlantic did the other day. I told you this yesterday. But I've also watched the backlash to what the Atlantic did. They published and made an article how the rosary became an extremist symbol featuring a rosary that had bullet holes in place of the beads, and argued that Catholic sacrament, of praying with a rosary, was a tool of violent militants. The article obviously caught a lot of attention. We spent time on it. It continues to. It obviously prompted outrage from Catholics. In response, the Atlantic published two headlines linking the rosary to gun extremism before finally settling on an actual photo of the rosary instead of the bullet hole rosary graphic, and then redid the headline to say how extremist gun culture is trying to co-opt the rosary. That's a far cry from what they were really trying to do in the beginning and blame Catholics for all the gun crimes in America because they have their rosary beads. All of this is so far out the bounds of common sense and understanding and faith, it's enough to make some people become an atheist. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Maybe you do or you don't. Maybe you worship. You're a Muslim. Maybe you're a Buddhist. That's between you and your maker. I know what I believe in, and you can have the right to have your belief in this country. The problem is when I hear somebody like Kinzinger saying, if your pastors aren't basically vilifying Trump and anybody that supports him, they're failing you. You think that's true? I don't think you do, but of course I am, in a sense, pun intended, preaching to the choir. But we do have some who are violently opposed to what I have to say. They're also welcome to listen. And I remind you of our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.